the voice of the child and the transparency of decisions making. I will go straight to the question because we have not much time with five panelists. The right for a child to be heard and to express one's views are basic procedural rights. There is no doubt in it. Several international and European documents have created legal grounds of participation rights of a child. However, as we'll see today, this international frame is only a base. The practical exercise of those rights is crucially influenced and limited by national legislations. We'll compare the different approaches adopted in five European member states: Malta, Italy, Monaco, Greece, and France, and we'll see how significant are the distinctions between children among those states in the exercise of their rights to be heard. For example, in Germany, the right for a child to be heard is a constitutional principle, and a child can be heard from the age of 3 directly from the judge without any delegation, the judge being used to go to the kindergarten. In the Czech Republic, the child is always a party in judicial proceedings, whereas in Austria, children have proper rights as a party from 14 years old. In the UK, a child is not a party to the proceedings, and her his opinion is most commonly provided through an expert report prepared by the CAFCAS. We see how children's rights and practices through Europe may be very different. It appears essential for us, European practitioners, not to consider our own practice as unique and to know those distinctions, because they lead to situations where a similar case can be decided differently in different member states. We retained three main issues on this question of the voice of the child. The first one refers to the legal criteria for hearing a child, and mainly how to assess the intellectual maturity of a child. Is it upon the judge's discretion or with a legally determined and presumed age of maturity? Secondly, how to ensure practically the legal right of the child to be heard? And thirdly, the question of the environment. Does the child feel sufficiently confident to talk? I give now the voice to my colleagues. For the audience, please do not hesitate to post questions in the chat. So firstly, on the question of maturity, there is a consensus among EU countries that children are human beings younger than 18 years, unless maturity is attained earlier. In French, the word child, enfant, comes from the Latin infans, who is the one who does not speak. We know, as parents and practitioners, that if a child does not speak, he may suffer from psychological and somatization disorders. But on the other hand, when he speaks too much, it may be in the disadvantage of one parent. Who can decide when a child can be heard at court? The International Convention on the Rights of the Child makes reference to the child who is capable of forming his or her own views. Ideally, we could consider that the courts should always begin with a presumption of capacity. Only where the court has legitimate concerns based on evidence that the child lacks capacity, should a child be denied the right to express his or her views. How is it in your country? We start with Konstantinos Rokas from Greece. Apart from being a lecturer at the University of Nicosia and a lawyer speaking English, French fluently, and also a bit of German and Chinese, Konstantinos recently sustained his thesis in medically assisted reproduction, a topic he likes very much also in his everyday practice. Konstantinos, we hear you.
Okay, thank you for having me. It's really a big honor to be among you in this excellent panel. So it's a very hot topic. In Greece, there is no presumption in favor of the child's capacity to be heard. It's true that judges have a certain level of discretion. They have the obligation to hear the children in cases of parental responsibility and of access of parents to the child, visiting rights, and so on. The legal grounds that regulate the hearing of the child by a judge are Articles 1511 of the Greek Civil Code and Articles 592, paragraph 3 of the Code of Civil Procedure and Article 612 of the Code of Civil Procedure. The judge, as I said, has an obligation to hear the child, but of course he has a certain level of discretion. If he decides not to hear a child, then he has to explain, to justify explicitly his decision not to hear the child and mention this motivation in his decision. There is no minimum age for listening to the child. There have been cases even where judges have tried to listen to hear children that were 4 years old, 5 years old. But in general, the older the child is, the better it is. Judges have the fear that if a child is very young, it will not feel sufficiently safe. It will be difficult for it to trust the judge and express itself openly. It is certain or almost certain that in serious cases, in delicate cases where there's the question of depriving one of the parents of the parental responsibility, that in the big majority of the cases, the judge will try to hear the child. I think for the moment, that's all I would like to say. I will develop more extensively.
Yes, very good. Thank you very much. Let's follow with Raphael Svara, who is a young and brilliant lawyer practicing in Monaco after having worked and received her diploma in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We hear you, Raphael.
Thank you, Julie. Hi, everyone. I'm happy to be here with you today. So in Monaco, as it seems to be in Greece, there is no presumption for the capacity of a child to be heard. A child can be heard, the practice is that the child can be heard if he's basically able to speak. So we have already seen the judge received and heard a child who was only five. The judge hears the child and he then appreciates, and this is very discretionary considering the age and the maturity of the child and depending on the conversation they have together, but the judge appreciates what the child will say accordingly to his maturity when he speaks to him, to her, and to his age. We have different proceedings. We have the divorce where a child can be involved, and we have a non-divorce proceedings, so separation of parents where a child can be heard. In both cases, if a child wants to be heard, he needs to ask the judge to. So basically what happens is that they write a letter, and this is under the demand of one of the parents, of course, which is not very partial, but the child will write to the judge and will ask to be heard. And once the judge receives such a letter, the judge has the obligation, the legal obligation, to hear the child. If one of the parents make the request, then the child cannot be heard. This is possible for the judge to refuse. The law expressly states that if the child asks to be heard, he will. Of course, when a child is five and cannot write, it's hard for him to be heard. So that's the legal obligations for the judge in this regard and regarding the listening and the welcoming of a child in his office. So I think that on these two points, I have answered. I don't know if you want me to go deeper or it will come after with your questions.
Yes, afterwards. Thank you very much. Let's give the voice now to John Bonello, one of our two fellows from Malta, specialized in international financial disputes and complex child cases. John was recently admitted to the Investment Migration Council, which gives him also a lot of work in this area of migration for non-EU investors. John, we hear you.
Thank you, Julie, and good morning to everyone. It's a great pleasure to meet again our IAFL friends. It's been a long time. In Malta, the situation is very similar, I must say, to many Mediterranean jurisdictions, in the sense that our code of procedure dates back to the mid-19th century. And back then, it was not normal for children to be heard. Having said that, by time, this rule was somehow relaxed, and children were by time involved more in family proceedings. There is no presumption in favor of the child. That is, there is no automatic right of audience for the child in Malta. However, whenever there are complex cases, or whenever the judge feels that it might be opportune to listen to the voice of the child, the judge usually holds one of two procedures. Basically, either the judge personally interviews the child, which is done in an informal manner, usually without the presence of the parties, or else the judge appoints what we call a children's advocate. I have explained the procedure in some detail in the note we have shared before this panel. And the position seems to be working quite well. I can't say that it's the best solution possible, because probably the best solution would be to have children directly involved in proceedings. However, in my jurisdiction, whenever there are complex children cases, and whenever the children are able to speak, of course, because you can't have a very small child testifying in proceedings, but whenever there are children who are have the capacity to speak, who are of a sufficient age to express an opinion, their opinion is usually heard, and there are measures for that.
Very good, thank you. We'll finish with Romualdo Ricicci, coming from Milano, who has an extensive experience in divorce and child custody cases and plead all over Italy. Since 2017, Romualdo is admitted to practice in front of the Italian Supreme Court, which is also very important to remember. Please, Romualdo. We do not hear you. Please put on your sound. Yes, thank you.
Now it should be better. Thank you, Julie, and good morning to everyone. Now, in Italy, things seems to be changing quite rapidly, because since 2006, several law provisions have been introduced in the Italian Civil Code in order to harmonize our system with the principle of the Convention of New York. And so there is a general provision which is put forth in Article 315 bis of the Italian Civil Code, which requires the judge, the court, to hear the children in every proceeding in which the children of the interest of the children are concerned. And also several specific provisions have been introduced requiring the judge to hear the children in specific kind of judgment, like judgments involving the acknowledgement of children born from unmarried couple when presumption cannot be applied, and also in serious proceedings involving case when there is an allegation to forfeiture of parental responsibility against one of the parent, and also in adoption case. But the most important provision is the one requiring judge in custody case, in general parental responsibility case, to almost always hear the children. There is a minimum age, which is 12. So the judge should hear the children every time they are at least 12 years old. but they can hear the children even if they have not reached the 12 years of age, if they are deemed capable in way of judgment. The problem is that all these provisions have an exception, which allows the judge, the court, to dispense completely with the hearing of the child, of the children, if the hearing is deemed to be clearly superfluous. And actually, the exception has become the rule. So, has always been the rule for probably an heritage of old provision. So the children is not considered a party of the judgment and has no actual right of requiring and demanding to be heard. The demand to be heard must be made by the parents, by one of the parents, even if the court can decide to hear the children with a decision ex officio. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before going on with the second question, I may say that in France, in civil cases, the rule is that a child can be heard on two conditions. If judicial proceedings relating to the child are pending. There are, of course, exceptions for matters related to minor children guardianship and in case of a French divorce without judge. Also, of course, even without proceedings pending, a child can always approach the juvenile court judge in order to warn of any dangerous situation. And the second condition is to see if the child is capable of discernment. The term in discernment under French law is not a legal concept. It exists since 93, replacing the former reference to the age of 13 years. It may be defined as a possibility to understand the presented information, to be able to analyze it and perceive its consequences. Our French doctrine in family matters considered that the discernment of the child shall be presumed from the age of 10. But in practice, children are heard in France from 7 years old. And even if the criteria for determining whether a child is capable of discernment are well known and common all over France, this notion of discernment remains very subjective, technical, and brings many divergences into the French judicial practice. Let's follow with how practically in our countries can the child access the court proceeding? What are the material grounds for a child to be heard? Constantinos, we hear you.
Okay, thank you. I would like to add that sometimes the judge has to listen to the child ex officio, but sometimes it is one of the parents that asks as well for the child to be heard. It is in parental responsibility, in custody access cases, there are no specific material grounds that are stipulated. There is also a great level of discretion. The judge are not taking any notes during the procedure of the hearing of the child. He just listens to the child. He engages in an informal discussion with the child. He does not ask explicitly, for instance, if do you want to go with your mother or do you want to spend more time with your father and so on. He tries to create an atmosphere of trust so as to let the child feel free and open itself. I have seen in one of the questions about the efforts of parents to manipulate, and this is a serious concern. Unfortunately, we don't have specialized judges, we don't have specialized family courts, but what is positive is that the senior judges are in these cases courts of first instance and have a lot of experience. Sometimes they're also very young, so they have the possibility to listen and to understand to the children, or they try to. But discussing with judges, they told me that it would be wise to have some more seminars on children psychology. They expressed me their need to to follow some special seminars to be better informed about how they can approach the children. Of course, judges are not stupid. They know that parents try to manipulate. Sometimes the children, in their simplicity and their clear way they express themselves, they say what their parents have promised them. For instance, that they will go later to buy them toys, or they will go later with the parents to buy them their favorite drink or food. The judge has a discretion in the evaluation of the child's opinion. He's not bound by what the child says. He can decide differently. He will not mention in the decision what the child has said, because there is a concern not to put the child in a difficult position towards its parents, because it is frequent that the parents, after the hearing, will go to their child and they will ask them, they will put pressure to the child to, what did you say? What did they ask you? So this is also something very important to have in mind. Sometimes there are lawyers that think that it will be in favor, and finally, when the child is heard, they found out that the outcome is completely different, which shows that the judges exercise with a sense of duty their obligation to hear the children. And I think what is important to say as well is that the time spent by the judges with the children varies greatly. It depends a lot on the personality of the judge, and I believe also on the sense of duty that they have. Even though judges are not specialized for family law cases, there are some judges that are really specialized. They have a high expertise, and sometimes they might spend 30 times, but there are judges they might spend 2 hours in order to assess exactly what the child wants and what would be in the best interest of the child. Thank you very much. I will stop here.
Very good. Rafael, we hear you.
Yeah, thank you. So as maybe already said, the child can be heard when he asks for it. He's heard by the judge, so he goes to court. The judge will not go to his place. He goes to court. There is not a specific room to be heard. He really goes into the court hearing room. There he is heard, whether it can be 3 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on how the child will be at ease. And that's actually the issue, because the child is alone with the judge, a person who he or she doesn't know. So we generally see children that are shy, do not want to talk, and the result is not very good. However, the law says, our Monegasque law says, that the child could ask for someone to accompany him or her before the judge. And so far, we have never seen that. A parent cannot, but he could be accompanied by a lawyer who could just assist him or her. And so far, it has not been seen, actually. The child just go there and speak to the judge. The judge will listen. When the hearing starts, the child goes out of the room and the hearing is closed with the parents and their lawyers. The judge generally explains us what the child says in substance in order for us to discuss on these grounds too. And the judge also evaluates and appreciates according to, because the judge, like in Griezmann, they are not specialized. Today we have a specialized judge, a children judge. But since every 3-6 years it changes, it's not a requisite. So we have seen judges who were not specialized, but they are aware of manipulation, etc. So it is what the child said is said to the parties in order to discuss it, but it will not be written in the decision in order to not to expose the child. And of course, the judge is not bound by what the child, but if the child is 16 and the judge assesses that there is no instrumentalization and it's really what the child needs, the judge will follow what the child says. So it really depends on his capacity and what, Julie, you were saying, the discernment of the child. The judge is not bound by the law, but she can follow what he or she says. I think that on this party, I have answered you.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. John, we hear you.
Thank you, Julie. Well, in Malta, there is a very peculiar situation when it comes to children, in the sense that the code of procedure provides for a situation whereby children are normally represented by the parents. So you can have this, you get to have this weird situation whereby the parents are in court litigating against each other. At the same time, they are deemed to be representing the children as well. However, in the event that a child were to request to join in the proceeding somehow, with the new procedure, which has just been introduced in Malta or has just been developed in Malta over the past few years, of children's advocate, the court will allow such a children to intervene through a children's advocate. And basically, the child will not be a party directly to the proceedings, but her voice will be heard through children's advocates. What is of concern, and I am seeing that there are also questions being asked in this regard, is the issue of parental alienation. And just as Konstantinos has explained, it is very, very easy for children to end up in a tiff between the parents. We had a recent case in Malta over the past 3 or 4 years ago, whereby a daughter was testifying in family proceedings. She said some very nasty things about her father, which landed him in jail for several months. Subsequently, it transpired that the daughter was acting on instructions from her mother, and the constitutional court had to intervene to release the father from imprisonment. It was a massive case of parental alienation, which basically raised the bell, raised the alarm in Malta that there could be a very particular situation going on when it comes to having children intervening. However, this, of course, one has to put on a balance the benefits for the child by having them intervene in proceedings, and at the same time, the element of justice when you have a court having to decide on children's matters, which will directly affect not just the child for those 2 or 3 years, but also the child long term when it comes to the psychological effects, which will have a long term effect on the family. So overall, I must say that children in Malta may access the court, but through specific proceedings which have been put in place specifically to avoid cases of parental alienation.
Very good. Romualdo, thank you. Your sound of...
Sorry again. In Italy, the situation varies widely from court to court, but with some approximation, as a general rule, it can be stated that while in juvenile courts tend to hear the children directly, and they did so also before the new law provision, which I mentioned before, ordinary courts tend to avoid doing so every time that is possible. And so they, when there are, I mean, serious cases involving litigation concerning custody and so on, they usually appoint a court expert who interviews the parents, the children, all people involved, and then submit to the court a report. And so the children hearing is, I mean, somehow done, but is not done directly by the judge. There is also a big difference between I would say, large major city courts who normally have specialized section dealing with family cases. And usually they have guidelines, which can also vary from city to city, but they, I mean, have are well equipped when they have to directly hear the children. And so in some city, a psychologist can be appointed to be present during the hearing with the judge, and so to assist the judge, while normally the parties and the lawyers are not allowed to be present during the hearing. While in minor cities where there are no specialized section or specialized judges dealing with family cases, the situation is left to the judgment of the single judge. And so actually they do prefer to avoid dealing directly with the children because they feel that they have not the training to do so. The hearings are never public. Normally, the records are, I mean, quite sketchy as well. And so you are not able really to know what is going on beyond the closed door. But normally when judges do hear the children, they do so only when they feel to have the instruments and so they are trusted by all the parties involved. Anyway, especially in ordinary courts, there is a strong feeling against hearing the children every time that is possible for the fear that they be manipulated. About the actual way the hearing can go, it varies widely and completely from according to the single judges. Thank you.
So interesting. Thank you very much. In France, there are two material conditions for a child to be heard. First, since 2007, the child shall be informed of his right to be heard. And second, the child shall make a request to exercise his right to be heard. But the hearing of a child does not confer him the status of a party to the proceedings. Simple at first glance, these two requirements are difficult to comply with in practice because unfortunately, French law does not say that the judge shall directly inform the child by mail, which is for me very regrettable. The petition is simply accompanied by a notice requiring the parents to inform their child of his or her right to be heard. Nevertheless, as you already mentioned, the parents shall only do it if they believe that their child is capable of discernment, is mature enough, and if there is, and indeed there is no legal consequences if the parents do not inform their child or if the judge does not check. Since also 2007, our French judges cannot anymore deny a request made by a child to be heard on the sole basis that it's just contrary to the child's interest. Judges now must motivate their refusal by proving the absence of discernment. Unfortunately, the child cannot appeal the refusal of being heard. So we understand that despite improvements being made, the hearing of a child in French family courts proceedings are far from being automatic. Third question, we will speak about the environment, appropriate, not appropriate, secure, not secure, made for the audition of the child. And I will please ask you at the same time to answer a question from the chat. We take a case where a German judge decided to fix the habitual residence of a child at the mother's place, basing himself on the audition of the child being 5 years old. So we are in Germany, the child is 5 years old, and you are asking to, the mother or the father is asking to the Italian judge, the Greek judge, the Monaco judge, for recognition of this decision. So how will your judge react on a decision having decided to fix the residence of the child at one parent's place on the basis of one of the reasons being his audition, the child being 5 years old? Would it be a reason not to recognize this decision in your country? So we speak now on this last question on the matter of environment and the recognition of this decision in your country. Konstantinos, thank you.
Okay. I would like just to add that the child does not have a specific procedural status in Greece, and practically the child is brought before the court by the parent that has the custody to be heard by the judge. It is the judge who conducts the hearing. He do it in private. The environment is secure, it is safe. Normally it is in the office of the judges or in some other rooms that exist in the court. The judge does not go outside of the court to hear the child. Unfortunately, there are infrastructure problems in Greece, so they're not specialized rooms that would be friendly for the child, that it would make it feel more comfortable because they use the appropriate colors or they have a lot of light. This is a problem, but this is a problem of generally of infrastructure of courts in Greece. It is improved gradually, but there is still a lot to be done. I would like to say also that there is a big difference, as Romualdo said, between big cities and small cities, as regards the expertise of the judges and as regards the facilities they have at their disposal. Third parties are not allowed to take to participate, are not allowed to be present, neither parents nor lawyers. Sometimes the judge has the discretion to allow a third party to be present. For instance, in one case, the judge allowed the cousin to be present, but both parents agreed to her presence because the child would feel more secure, more safe to express itself. So a basic consideration that the judges might take into account if they will be with a person that will make them feel nice, comfortable enough. I have, having spoken with some judges, they told me that things tend to be better when they are with their brothers and sisters. The older child is enabling the younger child to express itself, and this is a good requirement. I don't believe that given the circumstances in Greece and given that there are not so many specialized lawyers in family law that have a special training, that it would be a good idea to provide for a provision that would make lawyers specialized as a basic requirement. I think that even though it might seem a good idea, we have to check the material conditions in each country to make it happen. I don't know if I have completely understood the question. Was it if a child of 5 years old refuses to go with one of the parents, which role would this play to the opinion of the judge?
Well, we would take a situation, a case in which the age of the child is very low, very young child, and the judge really, independently of what the judge decided, the judge really took into consideration what the child asked. And the child is very young. Would it be a reason for not recognizing this decision in your country?
No, it would not be a reason not to recognize. They have there's no minimum age, and they try to evaluate the discernment of the child, and they have done it in some cases. Just to reply also to another question, when I said about manipulation, I didn't say that it is always the rule, okay? Of course, there are several cases, or even most of the cases, that the child can express its opinions, not necessarily explicitly, but the judge, in the way he conducts or she conducts the proceeding, he has the ability to see what the views of the child are, what the authentic views the child are. But I believe that we all are aware that there are parents that try to manipulate in several ways in their interest, or sometimes their bitter feelings towards their partner makes them to take advantage of the child so as to take, let's say, a revenge of their partner or ex-partner and ex-spouse. Okay, that's all for me.
Yes, thank you very much. Rafael, we hear you.
sorry. So regarding the environment of the when the child is heard, so first thing, as I said earlier, when the child goes before the judge, it's the hearing court, so it can be very stressful for a child. We've seen child staying mute or crying because they are impressed. They are alone with the judge and the judge secretary. They can be accompanied, but no one has done that before. And when there are several members, so 2-3 children to be heard by the judge, because these 2-3 children are concerned by the same issue, family issue, they are listened by the judge separately. So they are not even put together. The judge can, there is also point which I didn't evoke before. The judge can also order expertises to be realized. And in this case, the experts could be so specialized educators or psychologist expert. They go to the family place, the family domicile, and they hear the children. It's also a way for the child to be heard. And the conditions are better because generally the experts, they take 2-3 hours to proceed. So the child feels more at ease, which is better necessarily for the child. And this report is sent to the judge, and the judge has also this point of view, which is also taken as the words of the child. So there are many ways to obtain it. And of course, the best is to when you have the expertise, because the experts go directly to the children's home, so they feel more at ease. So that would be for the condition. Of course, we have never heard any complaint. The children never said when they went out of the court, it was hell. It's not like that. The judge is a woman today, and she's very... We have only one children judge in Monaco. And one divorce judge. So, and the children are usually heard with the children judge, parental authorities cases, and not within the divorce proceedings. They are really rarely heard in these proceedings. And this judge is very nice. She knows how to proceed with the children. So we have never had complaints, but it could be improved for sure. Regarding your question about the tricky question about the German case. Let's imagine that. I actually had a similar case, but it was with Russia. And the children were 4, and they had been heard in Russia. They had not even been heard in Russia. That's the difference. But when it came to Monaco just enforced the decision. But something that was true, we wanted the decision to be enforced. So we didn't raise that the children were not heard or badly heard. And the counterparts did not raise this issue, which I think might have worked on the ground of the public order. It could have been a public order for children not to be heard for such important questions, or for children aged 4 or 5 or 6 to be heard and their words to be followed. And I would try, I cannot promise that it would work or it would not work, because I've never had this case, but I would say that on this ground, the public order, the judge might say that indeed, maybe the decision was taken not in regard of the best interest of the child. And this could be the solution. But otherwise, it's today complicated regarding the enforcement proceedings in Monaco to have a judgment rejudged. So we will have to play on this best interest of the child and public order.
Yes, and we know that in Monaco you have a very strict public order. So yes, you good thing to work with this. John, we hear you.
Hi, Julie. Listening to Raphael, the position in Monaco seems to be very similar to what we have in Malta. Malta is a small jurisdiction, just like Monaco. And good thing about being a small jurisdiction is that we have only 3 judges who are doing family law. So basically, you know that your case will go to one of these 3 judges, and you know what their patterns are. So to start off with your question, on enforcement, I believe that our family judges will refuse to enforce a decision if it is not in the best interest of the child, citing change in circumstances. So it is the rule, of course, is in the presumption is in favor of the foreign judgment, but when it comes to children matters, we have inserted a tiny provision, the civil code, which basically says that irrespective of all other procedural matters and laws and so on and so forth, judges, when it comes to children, they are empowered to decide depending on circumstances and best interests and so on and so forth. And that basically that rule is somehow used when the judges are not convinced that the foreign judgment may not be beneficial for the children. So in reply to your question, I believe that a Maltese judge will consider the situation rather than just rubber stamp the foreign judgment. Given that our family court system is relatively small, we know more or less that when it comes to judges hearing children, the forum will be quite informal. There are three contexts, either the courtroom proper or the judge's chambers, the judge's office, which is also informal and which is closed to the parties. Basically, it's only the judge and his registrar, his secretary, or else we have a more informal space with toys and so on, where judges can speak to smaller children. But in general, the situation in Malta, given the size of the jurisdiction, is very similar to that which you have in other small European jurisdictions, such as Monaco. We do not have a situation whereby you would have, like there is in the UK with Kafka's, for instance, no, which everyone knows. Whenever we are faced with a children case involving England and Wales, the matter ends up out of the court system, and Kafka's staff gets involved, and basically there is a whole rigid procedure which has to be followed. In a small jurisdiction, since the number of cases is relatively low, they are not low, of course, but compared to other larger jurisdictions, the number of cases in Malta is relatively small. Our judges tend to adjust depending on the situation. That is probably the upside of having a small jurisdiction. Thank you.
Romualdo, we hear you. We put on.
I learned also to put on the microphone. So my answer, I will start from your question, because my answer will be very similar to those from by Raphael and John. In Italy, there will be a presumption in favor of the foreign decision, but if some circumstances it could be, deemed to be changed, to have changed, the decision could be discussed again, as it will be probably the case if the children moved to Italy and the Italian court had acquired jurisdiction on the case. Well, here, a decision based on the opinion of a child of 5 years of age would cause many, many eyebrows to be raised and will be probably disregarded if it could not be upheld on independent reasons. Because here, the trust put by the courts in the children opinion by the children is not, very strong. And to make an example, in all the forms, the preprinted forms of court hearing records and court order, there is a preprinted statement saying that the hearing of the children is clearly superfluous. So the presumption is that the children should not be heard unless very serious reason arise to justify the hearing. And even if they are heard, the court can disregard their opinion with a motivation which could be quite as curt. I mean, it is just sufficient that the judge write a line saying that considering the other facts, the children opinion is not in accordance with his best interest. Coming to the environment, in Italy, civil cases are not usually treated in courtrooms, I mean solemn courtrooms, but in the offices of the single judges. This is true also for ordinary cases. So children, when they are heard, are heard in small rooms with the presence only of the judge and it is deemed useful of a psychologist. It is very difficult to provide a good answer to your question because the changes from place to place are too big. In some places, courts are able, even if they do not have rooms painted in light colors and with flowers and so on, to provide a human environment which can ensure that the child they are able to do their best in order to ensure that the children feel free enough to express their true feelings. While in other court, I would say that the human environment is hostile also to the lawyers and to adult people. So it would be very difficult for children to say that they're tough in this environment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In France, the principle is the child's direct hearing conducted by the judge in court. And the exception is a hearing conducted by a third person, a social worker, psychologist, appointed by the judge. Nevertheless, since the judge is not obliged to motivate his decision to delegate authority, many French courts reverse the principle and the exception and practice systematic delegation of authority due to the lack of time, know-how, competence, or when the child is too young. And they content themselves with taking down the words said by the child during the social investigation. French law also provides that a child may be heard with a person of his choice or with a counsel. The child is also entitled to legal aid to pay his, her counsel's fee. If the child doesn't choose his counsel himself, the judge asks that such counsel be appointed by the president of the bar, our bar, the lawyer's bar, which is particularly advantageous for protecting the child's interest, I think. And we should really train, this is my point of view, that we should really train special lawyers for children when the law stipulates this possibility for the child to have a counsel. We will finish our session with one last question linked to all what we just said, but also looking to the future, which is the transparency of decisions and proceedings. Are hearings in family cases public? Court decisions published? Well-motivated, easy to read, what could be improved in that regards, and how alternative dispute resolution methods are progressing in your country? Would it be possible to implement private family court? Of course, well, this complementary theme is really huge, so we will just, from each of our country, we'll just give highlights, what we think, what could be done, and to end this panel. First, we'll hear Konstantinos.
Okay, thank you very much. Just to follow up on what I meant in relation to your question is that just the fact that the child is 5 years old is not sufficient not to recognize, okay? Of course, the judge will We'll look into the circumstances, and if there are other elements in the foreign decision that make him believe that it would be contrary to public policy, he would not recognize. But just the fact that the child that has been heard is 5 years old, it's not sufficient. So the hearings in family law cases are public in Greece. They are conducted in the rooms of the courts. The judge, however, can order to conduct the procedure in camera if there are serious reasons of public morality, and this would be to safeguard the public order. According to Article 114 of the Code of Civil Procedure. Normally, it is prohibited to broadcast either in TV or radio any child law case or family law case. Journalists can be allowed in the courtroom. Sometimes they might be there and take notes. Normally, in order to be there and take pictures, they have to ask for a specific authorization by the judge. The decisions are published occasionally. Unfortunately, there is not a very elaborated system by the public courts to choose according to the interest. I would say that in domestic cases, where all the elements are concentrated in the Greek legal order, there are not so many difficult legal issues. Most of the legal issues are resolved. I believe that most of the difficulties are in international cases where judges have to apply foreign law. This is difficult. Very often they might order for an expertise by the Greek Institute of Foreign Law, which might take time and might incur some expenses for the parties. There are some efforts the last years, especially, and also thanks to the legislation of the European Union, to develop alternative methods of resolution of family disputes. There is a room to promote that kind of differences. I believe that because of mentality, of culture, sometimes it's also the responsibility of lawyers who like to plead in public for different reasons that I believe we can all understand. They might not be willing to go to alternative methods of resolution. This is a pity. We could earn a lot of time. Finally, I would say that the decisions of Greek judges are sufficiently motivated, but there is some room of improvement. My concern as a lawyer is that very often when judges have recourse to the public policy exception, either concerning the application of foreign law or when they refuse to recognize a decision, I find that the motivation is quite insufficient. But if you allow me to say so, I believe that this is not only the case of Greece. Having read some decisions from other legal orders, I don't believe that the way that national judges motivate their recourse to the public policy exception is sufficient enough. Thank you very much for your time. And we will be available for the questions later.
Very good. Raphael, we hear you.
Thank you. So courts in Monaco regarding children, they are closed hearing. No one can enter. Only the parties, meaning the parents, their lawyers when they have them, and the child when he's heard, but before. The decision, once it's issued, so in Monaco we have, I don't know if it's good or wrong, I think it's not very transparent on this regard. Our decisions are not... I mean, there is an infinite amount of decisions which are published, like 10% of the decisions are published, but children decision can be published. It's not banished, so we can find it on our sites easily, some of them, regarding jurisdiction issues or even the rights of the children. Regarding the decisions, the motivation can be good and it can be not good. It really depends on the humor of the judge, I would say. I guess it's the same around the world, but here we sometimes have decision, we have one line and that's it. So even if you want to appeal, it can be good, but you don't know how to do it. Or it can really be like 20 pages of decision, which is really good. So it, I would say it's more tendency of the judge humor. So that's a point. And regarding the alternative method of resolution, in Monaco we have only so far the mediation, and it's not working actually. It's before any hearing. People can, before any hearing or just when the hearing started, the judge can suggest, he cannot order, he can suggest the parents to go before a mediator. In Monaco, we only have one. She does not have good reputation, so it's not, I've never seen her, but it's very negative. But the point is that the parties can go before this mediator, and if they find an agreement, fine, they go before the judge and have it approved. But it's very rare. It really does not work well. And regarding the other methods that we know, arbitration or private court, it's not even in discussion here in Monaco, though I personally think that it could be a really, really good alternative and a good way for this kind of litigations to be solved.
Very good. Thank you very much, Raphael. John just disappeared from the screen. So we will hear Romualdo, please.
Okay, starting from the publicity, this is a big issue in Italy because even ordinary civil cases are not treated in public in Italy. And I mean, this is a place where there can be some real room for improvement, because some more formality in treating law cases, civil law cases, could be of real help sometimes. Obviously, in family cases involving children, sometimes even the lawyer or the parties themselves are not allowed to assist. So I would say that here we can do quite good progress. Concerning motivation, my answer will be the same as the one from by Raphael, because you can have court order very well motivated with motivation spanning tens of pages, and other orders motivated, curtly, I would say, even if they are made by superior courts. I had one time a very important divorce case, not involving children really, but involving quite large sum of money. And the Court of Appeal of Milan, so a quite important court, motivated it with just one page. While the documents, the paper of the case could be perhaps 3 cubic meters of documents and statements and so on, but just one page was deemed sufficient, evidently. Concerning alternative methods, in Italy in the last years, I would say that there have been real leaps forward in the direction of privatization of family laws. Because until a few years ago, to get divorced, even to have a divorce by consent, you needed a court order, 2 lawyers, and so on. While now, for married couples, there are other ways. And so if they have no children and there are no big property issues, they can dispense completely with going to the court and having a divorce just by filling some pre-printed forms. While also only married couples can dispense with a full-blown proceedings in court for legal separation or divorce by, we call that an assisted mediation proceeding, in which both parties have a lawyer who help them reach an agreement, which when it is signed, have to be approved by the public prosecutor office only if there are children involved. If there are no children, it have to be sent anyway to the public prosecution office, but I don't know why, because they cannot deny their consent. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, very clear. John reappeared. John, we hear you. Question, thank you.
So in Malta, decisions are, court proceedings are generally open to the public. But when it comes to family law to family cases, judges tend to insist that in the courtroom, only parties involved in those proceedings are present. So basically, if a lawyer enters the courtroom, he is allowed to listen to even to cases which are not his. But when it comes to individuals, they are usually not allowed. As to publication of decisions, decisions in Malta are all published. But when it comes to family cases, the names are anonymized. So you would find a case by the names AB versus CD, and we have hundreds of cases AB versus CD, which makes it difficult, of course, to cite from them. With regard to the privatization of family proceedings, there was an attempt in Malta when our arbitration center was set up something like 15 years ago to introduce a system whereby the family case would be heard by the court, but then only with regard to financial matters, the parties were given the opportunity to refer that aspect of the dispute to arbitration. Unfortunately, this procedure is hardly ever resorted to. Despite that, there are some very clear rules about how it should function, and which I think is a huge mistake, because if we were to leave only children matters and matters regarding responsibility to the hands of the judges and divert issues such as finances and the liquidation of the community of acquisition to alternative dispute resolution mechanisms, I think that would be enhancing the procedures in the family court to the benefit of all. But unfortunately, despite the attempts that were made over the years, so far very few people have agreed to resort to ADR mechanisms.
Thank you very much. Very interesting to notice that in Malta you can bring your financial aspects of your divorce to the arbitration institute. Quite interesting. In French law, the principle is the publicity of proceedings before the courts, but family matters are an exception to the principle. And there are exceptions to this exception, as divorce proceedings and procedure on the name, which are public. And still, we have exceptions to those exceptions, since proceedings concerning parental authority measures, consequences, the cause of divorce are not made publicly. So quite difficult, but all this is provisionally stipulated, prevented by French law. In addition, I would say also that another principle is that decisions rendered in public can be communicated to third parties. Those rendered in council chambers are not, of course, with some exceptions. Nevertheless, since two laws from 2016, 2019, and a decree from last year, new provisions are gradually setting up what we call now a French digital republic, very sexy, and according to which our courts, will have to publish all their decisions by anonymizing them. We are far from it, but little by little things are improving. In France also, since these new laws on the modernization of justice, alternative methods have been incorporated into French positive law under the acronym MARC, MARC, Méthode Alternative de Règlement des Conflits, MARC. All applications to family courts must indicate the steps undertaken by the applicant to try and reach an amicable solution. Since also January 2017, we also have the no judge divorce, no judge, which represents approximately 200,000 cases in 4 years, not bad. and where lawyers play a significant role, and probably a role I consider which goes beyond their prerogatives. It raises also problems in the recognition abroad of our divorce agreement, which is neither a court decision nor an authentic instrument. But this no judge divorce is an extraordinary progress in terms of alternative methods. Being in the center of reaching amicable solutions, French lawyers put also in place collaborative procedures from the Anglo-Saxon model, and this offer is gaining more and more success. Before the case is heard by the court, we also have now a participatory, I don't know how to translate it, participatory procedure, which is well set out by our French Code of Civil Procedure, and according to which the parties accept to prepare the case for the judge in an amicable way with their lawyers, agreeing on their own calendar, own way of proceeding, exchanging documents, and maybe reaching partial agreements. Of course, parties can still accept mediation procedures by neutral experts, but we have it for a long time, but without much, much success in France. So in conclusion, I would say that the no judge divorce and these new participatory procedures give French lawyers great privileges in family cases. Maybe these are the first steps we could imagine to private family courts, but we are still also very far from it. We close here our session. I think that we answered during our session to the questions from the chat. There will be a small break, and all the participants who want to now take part to the lunch networking, Rachel will probably speak about it. We have other connections to take part to this lunch.